Thank you, Dave. Thank each of you. Privileged to be with you tonight. This afternoon, I was looking in my wallet, billfold, whatever you want to call it, because I thought I remembered I had a $5 bill in there, and I looked, and sure enough, I found a $5 bill. A number of years ago, when I was a younger person, I remember being out. I was out in the Atlantic Ocean, just about chest deep in the water, and I felt something at my foot. You know, sometimes you think, was that a crab or a fish or a seashell? But it was soft, and I got my toes, and I picked it up, and it was a $5 bill. So both times I found a $5 bill. One time I was looking for the $5 bill, and I found it. The first time, actually, that it occurred years ago, I was not looking for a $5 bill, but I still found one. So I want to look at just one verse in Jeremiah 31 this evening and just meditate on a phrase in this verse. It's talking here about the people of Israel. It looks back to when they were redeemed out of slavery in Egypt. It also looks forward to a day that was future at that point in the near future, but also a day yet to come in God's prophetic calendar. But we're going to look at it more devotionally tonight in our own lives. Jeremiah chapter 31, we'll read verse 1 also, but the phrase is in verse 2. Jeremiah 31 and verse 1. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when I went to give him rest. That phrase there in verse 2, found grace in the wilderness. Sometimes we're looking for grace. We know we need it. We want it. We seek it, God's unmerited favor, God's gift to those who don't deserve what He's giving. Sometimes we're looking for that. Sometimes we're not looking for it, but it comes anyway. But you know, normally when you're in the wilderness, you don't expect to find grace. You often know you need grace when you're in the wilderness, but you don't necessarily expect to find it. Brother Larry tonight prayed about the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and, anybody know? Find grace to help in time of need. Find grace. The wilderness. I want to think about the wilderness tonight. You know, and for us in our own lives, spiritually speaking, you know, the wilderness sometimes is outside. And sometimes the wilderness is inside. So I don't know exactly what wilderness you may be experiencing tonight in your own life as you come here to this prayer meeting. But it's a good chance that a lot of us, if not all of us, have a sense of being in a bit of a wilderness. Again, it may be on the outside, it may be our environment and how it affects us spiritually. It may be on the inside. Look, you got the phrase here, found grace in the wilderness. You got that. So look over at Jeremiah chapter 2. I think we have a really good picture of the wilderness here in Jeremiah chapter 2. And you find the wilderness, by the way, you start in Genesis and you find the wilderness, and you can go all the way through the Bible and you get to Revelation and you still will read about the wilderness. It's all through the Bible, all through the Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 6, just reading this to get this picture of the wilderness, neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. Here in this verse, I think we see three characteristics of a wilderness. These are three characteristics that the Lord brought to my mind, just in a practical way. As you think about a wilderness, what is that? And then as I kept studying and looking, I came across this verse and thought, wow, they're all right there. So very quickly, I'm just going to mention them to you in the few minutes that we have together tonight. Three characteristics of a wilderness and three ways that we can find grace there. The first characteristic of a wilderness is that it's dangerous. Okay, think about the word wilderness. You take the first four letters of wilderness, and what does that spell? Wild. Okay, that's exactly where the word came from in English. The Old English, it spoke of a wild deer. So this idea of a place that would be characterized by beasts, wild animals, we might call them. We also know, as we think about the wilderness, we think about the elements. We think of a place that is kind of forbidding and a place that we really wouldn't want to go on vacation. Some people go out wilderness camping, the Armfields. They like to go out in there, but they still take a camper, right? So you're not just, you know, they're not out there with a wild beast and everything, exactly. And then also there are, when you're in the wilderness, you're thinking about the potential of being attacked. Just a couple of verses. Deuteronomy 8:15, we read of the Lord who led Israel through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions. The wilderness, a place of danger, potentially. Judges chapter 8 and verse 7, Gideon said that he was going to come back to this town that wouldn't assist him as he chased after Zeba and Zalmunna. And he said, when I get back, I'm going to tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness. See, the wilderness is a dangerous place. There are scorpions, there are beasts, there are thorns. In Lamentations 5:9, the people of Judah said, we get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Again, the attackers, the robbers, those who would be in that area looking for the unsuspecting person, maybe on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. As we read in the story of the Good Samaritan, we read in Mark 1:13 of the Lord Jesus. And He, of course, was in the wilderness 40 days tempted by Satan. And in Mark 1:13, we read that He was with the wild beasts. The wild beast. And in 2 Corinthians 11:26, Paul, in recounting many of the difficulties of his life, one of those difficulties was perils in the wilderness. You see, the wilderness is a dangerous place. And you know, we live in a world that has been prayed about tonight, in a culture, in a nation that is going away from God. It's getting more and more dangerous for the one who will stand up for the Lord Jesus. Our brother Andrew Brunson is now convicted of three life sentences. Why? Because he stood for the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he was reaching out to a people in the nation of Turkey that the Turkish government does not like. And therefore, as a result, he's now in prison. This is it's a dangerous place. And no, we're not going to be arrested tonight probably for our faith. But that day may not be that far off. But even without that, we have pressure against us. There's a dangerous wildness in the wilderness where we find ourselves. And that's not even going inside our own persons and the unknown struggles, unspoken requests. A lot of those unspoken requests, they have to do with the wilderness because we're struggling inside our minds and in our lives. We have struggles that can be only characterized as a wilderness, a dangerous place. But we can find grace in the wilderness, grace in God's protection. In Ephesians 34:25, God said of Israel, I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness. That's a future day. A future day, we're going to find that full protection by the grace of God, not because we deserve it, but because the Lord Jesus has given Himself for us. We're going to be fully escaped. But even now, we find that in Psalm 136:16, we find that the Lord is the one who led His people through the wilderness. Not only just telling them which way to go, but leading them through that they might be safe from all the dangers of the wilderness. The Lord loves you. And if you are His, He has you and is guiding you and is going to take you through the wilderness. It doesn't mean that you won't end up in prison. Doesn't mean that you won't end up with difficulty in your life, but it means that the Lord will protect you as He sees fit from those dangers to your spiritual life in the wilderness. Here in chapter 2 and verse 6, we see that it was the wilderness is a land of deserts and pits. It's dangerous. But the second thing we can think about the wilderness, it's dry. Dry. It's free from moisture. Notice there in our verse, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought. The wilderness is a place that is normally characterized by a lack of moisture. A lack of moisture that ultimately will result in thirst. And it will also result in unfruitfulness, won't it? If there's no rain, there will not be fruit. It'll be barren. And we can read a lot about wilderness and not finding water in Exodus 15, 22. Israel goes 3 days into the wilderness and they don't find any water. Hagar twice goes out into the wilderness and she needs water. Ezekiel 19, 13. And now she, Israel, is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty land. And you know, sometimes we experience dryness in our lives, a spiritual dryness that should cause within the believer a thirst, and we'll cry out with David in Psalm 63:1. And it's interesting, the heading of that says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God, early will I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And we find grace in the wilderness, in God's provision. In God's provision. Psalm 78, 15. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. Psalm 107, 35. He turns a wilderness into pools of water. And then the Lord Jesus came to this earth, and in John 7, 38 and 39, He said, He who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this He spoke concerning the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit of God is living within the life of the believer, and He is a river of living water, and God in His grace will provide that moisture and that fruitfulness in our lives as we look to Him, as we look to God to find our protection through the dangers of this wilderness, as we look to God to provide for us what we need that we might be fruitful for Him in this life. And then the final characteristic of the wilderness that we'll mention tonight is that it's desolate. It's desolate. The word desolate means devoid of inhabitants and visitors. Notice again here in verse 6, we read that it was, at the end of the verse, it was a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. That's what you expect in the wilderness. It's an uninhabited place. Notice there, he says, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts. A land of deserts. Think about the word desert and think about the word deserted. They obviously come from the very same root. You go to a desert, it's likely you're either deserting other people or they've deserted you. Sometimes we find people in the Scripture running to the desert to get away from people. Job 38, 26, a wilderness in which there is no man. Ezekiel 6, 14. God said, I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate. Yes, more desolate than the wilderness. The wilderness is a desolate place. It's a deserted place. And sometimes, maybe even tonight, some of us are in a desolate wilderness in our lives. And we've got people all around us. We're in a gathering tonight of people who love us, and we can still feel deserted, and we can feel alone. And maybe when you leave here tonight, you go and you feel alone. You feel deserted. You feel desolate. Nehemiah 9:19. We find grace in God's presence in the wilderness. Yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day. You see, God didn't desert His people. And He's not going to desert His people. And He's not going to leave you desolate. If you're His, He's going to be with you. And He's not going to let you go. The Lord Jesus, interestingly enough, often we read in Luke 5:16 about one time. Well, no, it's here it's telling about His habitual behavior. So He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And prayed. There in the wilderness, the presence of God. God meeting with God. 2 Timothy 4, in verses 16 and 17, Paul talks about his first defense before Caesar. And he said, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me." He knew what it was to be in a desolate place, to be in a wilderness, forsaken. Listen to the grace from Paul. May it not be charged against them. But then here's what he says next. "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." The Lord didn't leave him. Everybody else left him. He was all alone standing there in the court of Caesar being condemned. But God didn't leave him. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, verses that have been on my mind and heart recently. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" I will never leave you. That word means literally, I will never let you go. I'll never let you go. He said, "I'm not going to forsake you." That literally means, "I'll never abandon you. I'll never desert you." You may be in the desert, but you won't be deserted by the Lord. His presence is with you. Now, whether or not we experience and appreciate His presence, that comes back to us by faith. Do we recognize Him being there? The wilderness is a dangerous place. But there we can find, whether we're looking for it or not sometimes, the grace of God's protection. The wilderness is a dry place, but praise God, because of His grace, we don't deserve it. But in His grace, we can have God's provision there in that dry place. And then it's a desolate place, but we have the grace of God's presence. So I don't know what wilderness you're in tonight, but if you're in one, or you end up in one tomorrow, or in a day not far away, or even far away, I hope that the Lord will bring that little phrase from Jeremiah 31:2 to your mind. They found grace in the wilderness. I suggest we look for it. But even when we're not looking for it, sometimes in the most unlikeliest of places, God says, "Here's my grace. Here's my grace." Isn't He wonderful? Let's thank Him. Thank you, Father, for being a God of grace and mercy. Thank you that we can come to your throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace in time of need. Lord, we have come to realize that every moment of our lives is a time of need. Lord, we're in the wilderness. This world is a wilderness. This world is getting drier and more dangerous and more desolate for the believer than ever before, it seems. And Lord, often even within ourselves, we struggle with the dangers of our own beings. Lord, we struggle with the dryness that we sometimes experience spiritually. And Lord, sometimes we feel deserted, like things are desolate, like we're all by ourselves. Lord, we're not. You've given us your people. Thank you for these folks gathered in this room tonight. Thank you, Lord, that they've come not just to pray tonight, but we know they're going to pray for us when they leave. And thank you for that. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your provision. And thank you for your protection. Lord, you are a God of grace, the God of grace, and we thank you and commend ourselves to you. May we appreciate and experience your grace by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you as you experience his grace in the wilderness.